On the last Sunday of the ordinary time, the church annually celebrates the great feast of Christ the King. Next Sunday, we begin the season of Advent, the new year in the liturgical calendar. When the church tells us to celebrate Christ as King, the church is saying to us something, that Christ is the whole different kind of king, because we Americans don't like kings, do we? I mean, we rebelled against King George III of England. We fought King George III of England to gain our independence as a nation. We don't like kings. Kings have absolute power. And how do they say it? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. On a personal note, I have an aversion to kings. When I was younger, I used to run the LA Marathon. And every time when you hit the 18-mile mark, that's calling the wall, when you hit the wall, every time a runner dressed as Elvis passes me. Every time I run that marathon, I got passed at the wall by the king. I don't like kings. Obviously, the church is telling us something else here. Jesus Christ is a different kind of king. He is the kind of king that have the cross as his throne. He is not the king of a territory. He's not even the king of a population. He is the king of souls. The souls of all humans. It is very obvious to us that Christ is a different kind of king, because we hear in the gospel, as we celebrate him, about how he died, how he suffered and died on the cross. And we know that eventually he would rise from the dead and make the cross from an instrument of death and torture into an instrument of life, eternal life. It was Queen Helen, the Queen Mother, who became Christian first. She then influenced her son, the Roman Emperor, to become Christian. It was the Emperor Constantine that made the declaration, the edict, that legalized Christianity in his empire. And because Christianity became widespread within a very short time throughout the Roman Empire, it became known as Catholic, because the word Catholic is a Latin word, means universal. It was the Queen Mother Helena, who went with her newly converted son, the Emperor Constantine, to make a pilgrimage all the way from Rome to Jerusalem in search of the true cross, the throne of the King of human souls. How did they find the true cross? Because there were many crosses, as you know. The Romans killed thousands by crucifixion. How could the Queen Mother and the Emperor find the cross? Well, whoever touched the cross, they dug up many crosses, whoever touched the true cross got healed. Immediate miracle. And it was said that the emperor himself, out of a devotion to his new king, he was the emperor, but Jesus Christ, the one that died on the cross, was his king. In an act of devotion to the to the king of his soul, the emperor bent down and tried to lift up the cross to carry it a short distance. But he could not budge that cross until he took off his emperor's robe. Then he was able to lift up that cross and carry it a distance to show his devotion to the king of his soul, Jesus Christ. Then he ordered for the true cross to be broken up in order to give it out to all the monasteries and all the convents and all the religious places throughout and churches throughout his empire, so that the people of his empire, now all Christians of the one universal Christian church, Catholic, so that all of the faithful would have the opportunity to venerate the true cross. He took a big part of the true cross back to his capital in Rome, and he ordered for a piece of the true cross to be placed on top of every obelisk throughout the city of Rome. Now, if you've been to Rome, you know what I'm talking about. These obelisks were from Egypt. They were made from marbles, stones. I mean, they weighed tons. And they were these structure that reached the sky that the Egyptians made to show to the world their power. When the Romans conquered Egypt, the Romans shipped them, all the obelisks, these tons, weighted in tons, shipped them back to Rome and have them situated throughout the city of Rome. So if you go to Rome today, you will see these obelisks at reaching up to the sky at the center of a city square. And the Romans took the obelisks back to Rome and placed them in the capital city in order to make a statement to the whole world that the Egyptians were the masters of the world. We conquered them now. So now here are the obelisks in our city. We are the masters of the world. We have conquered the Egyptians. And now Constantine, the emperor, ordered for a piece of the true cross, his new king, to be placed on the tip-top of each obelisk in order to make a new statement to the whole world that the Romans conquered the Egyptians, but Christ, the king, conquered the Romans, and thus the whole world. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate Christ as king, we're celebrating a different kind of king. King of souls. Heavenly king. And there are two approaches that the people can have to this king. And we hear it in the gospel today. As the king of souls of human race, hanging there, dying on the cross, the one criminal on the left said to him, "If you are someone, if you are the Christ, if you are the one that you claim to be, free yourself from this suffering, from this dying, free me." And my brothers and sisters, this is how the majority of humans approach this king today. If you ask the young people who no longer go to church, why don't you go to church? They will not tell you that they no longer believe in God. Some of them will. Well, they don't know what they're saying. But what they will end up telling you is that I can't believe in God because there's so much suffering in the world. There are diseases, there are COVID, there's so much bad in the world. How can I believe in God? The bottom line is the young people are not really not believing in God. They are putting the blame of everything bad on God. I lost my job. Must be God's fault. I'm in a divorce. Must be God's fault. I'm an alcoholic. It's my dad's fault and God's fault. I'm a drug addict. It's got to be God's fault. I'm in a bad relationship. My life is in a mess. It's got to be God's fault. See, that's what's happening. Everyone in the world is looking at this king and say, if you are a king, then you must rid of suffering from this world because it's your fault. We put the blame on you. Until you get rid of sufferings in this world, we're not going to accept you as our king. That's what's going on. And that's the one approach. The other approach that the church wants for all of us to have is from the good thief, we call him. This is why we call him good. He wasn't good. He was a criminal. And the Romans did not crucify petty criminal. They crucified criminals that would do things like rape and kill. So he was a good thief. Why is he called good? Well, he was called good because he had the right approach to this king who is dying on that cross. And what was his approach that the church wants for us to have? The approach is, look, I am not innocent. I am a criminal. I deserve this cross. You, Jesus, you are innocent. You don't deserve this. Why you hang on the cross? Why are you here? I know why I'm here. I am guilty. You are the only innocent creature in this whole wide world. And yet there you are hanging on that cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's how we are to approach this king. As we live our earthly life full of challenges, full of evil, full of sufferings, full of mess, we look at this king and we should be able to say, you're innocent. You're the only innocent one. I'm not innocent. We are not innocent. None of us is innocent except the one comes down from heaven. And yet, there you are, our King hanging on that cross, suffering with us. The innocent one suffering with me. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate the great feast of Christ the King, the last Sunday of the year of the life of the church, before we enter the new year by the season of Advent next Sunday, let us pray for each other that we may have the right approach to this great King of the souls of all humans. If we have been the ones that beat our breasts and say, God, why did you do this to me? In other words, blaming God. God, why is the world like this? If we've been if we've been joining the unbelievers, the world out there, putting the blame on of all the evils on God, today we stop because we know it's not true. We know that Christ is the only innocent one. Let us come before this King humbly and say to him, I'm not innocent. I know I'm not innocent. Remember me, Lord, the King of my soul, when you come into your kingdom.